literally written in wax.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 33rd Real Music Film Festival, running through February 8th. Friday, February 5th, will show American Epic. The film pieces together the extraordinary 1920s story of record companies leaving the big city to tour America's backroads and capture for the first time the raw musical expressions of rural cultures. These field recordings, initially aimed for the rural markets from which they came, democratized music and gave voice to the most marginalized demographics in the nation. That's February 5th at 7 p.m. at the Northwest Film Center in the Witzel Auditorium at 1219 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on the films and more at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the first annual Portland Bob Marley Birthday Party, Saturday, February 6th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Melody Ballroom in Portland. The life of Bob Marley will be celebrated with live reggae by Simba Puma and the Roaring Lions, by DJs Reggae Bob and Pablo One from Kingston, Jamaica, and live streaming from Kingston's own Bob Marley Festival. Again, that's the first annual Portland Bob Marley Birthday Party, Saturday, February 6th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Melody Ballroom at 615 Southeast Alder Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, February 2nd, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest, we're hoping to be able to bring you Russell McIver. He's the editor of Corporate Crime Reporter, a weekly print newsletter based out of D.C. He also produces a daily podcast, the Corporate Crime Reporter Morning Minute, which I imagine quite a number of you are familiar with. Before we talk serious business, however, I must bring you this. Today at Gobbler's Knob, a crowd gathered early this morning waiting the emergence of the groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil. I must say, he's an enormous groundhog. After a tap of a cane on Phil's tree trunk home, the door opened and Phil emerged. He was held aloft to cheers and applause. Phil did not respond. He blinked. He was placed on top of the trunk. He attempted to flee before his actions were closely observed. He, interpreting Phil's behavior, the Groundhog Club MC said that there was no shadow cast and therefore an early spring was forecast. Well, we didn't need Punxsutawney Phil to tell us that climate change has brought us the most bizarre weather to date, and it promises more and very likely extremely violent weather to be contended with. So when people are out there in their little T-shirts riding around on bicycles saying, "My, aren't we having nice weather?" Just wait. Just wait and see what's in store. That said, what we're going to try to get around to today, the results out of Iowa may or may not have astounded you. One thing, though, to pay close attention to, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, we've pretty much held it to the straight and narrow and ran a campaign that was by the book, according to all reports. He went around, he kissed babies and so forth. Trump, however, was able to draw huge crowds at huge venues, but that does not translate into caucuses results. So Trump got a large trumping by Senator Ted Cruz. He was powered by a surge of support. Evangelical Christians are still pretty suspicious of Donald Trump. And in the aftermath, and when Ted Cruz was delivering his speech, pay close attention to that speech. It was terrifying. It was more frightening than anything I've heard Donald Trump say. This is a man who intends to run a completely God-based, Bible-based regime. It's terrifying. It's the Taliban. It's ISIS. Only this, in this case, he's talking Christianity. But everything in it, it's very easy to say. It's a form of evangelicalism with Ted Cruz is the type that demands that women be subservient to their husbands. There will certainly be no equality as far as wages and if, should he be elected. And there's a chance that he could be. There's a very, very good chance. The other side of the coin, of course, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. At one point, it was just as polls were closing, just at the last minutes, it did seem that Bernie Sanders won. And then suddenly Hillary Clinton announced that she'd won. I wonder, in this case, what kind of backroom negotiations it took to come up with a winner. I think it's very likely that Bernie did win, but that's just my supposition. Again, it's something that, of course, we won't ever know. But 98% of precincts reported at one point in the evening, and Cruz had nearly 28% of the vote, Trump had 24%, Rubio 23%. It was an interesting mirror of the people, and Iowa, as always, is a reflection of the nation to a certain extent. The strangest thing out of this, I believe, in my opinion, was the Clinton victory. And of course, the most telling element to emerge was Ted Cruz's speech. One would imagine, since he's going for a national deal, this is not the local dog catcher. We assume that Ted Cruz is running for president of the United States. That means all of us, not just evangelicals. And however, by his words, he spoke only to his specific constituents. Everyone else was excluded. A presidency, a Cruz presidency, would be awful to behold. There would be no room for anyone other than his true believers. This is what religious extremism looks like. This is what a fundamentalist regime looks like, and not from afar, this time from close up. That said, I want to tell you about a person who came into the KBOO studios on Friday, January 29th. Lana Jack had a story that sets the sun on anything I've heard before regarding cultural crimes, dodgy laws, and criteria that determine whether a tribe or clan is, in fact, a tribe or a clan. Up the river from where I live in Troutdale, in Salilo Village, the question of official recognition is a very hot issue. The Jack family is pretty much all that's left of the Salilo YM people. The Salilo YM hold the only true legitimate claim to land at the pre-1957 fishing sites. They now stand by on the sidelines watching other people fish on their traditional and customary waters. The Jack family claim, tribal records do seem to bear out the Jack family claim, but the records are dismissed and the family has been told that their case lacks standing. There's a story underlying this story. Jack family members are also in jail. They are sitting in prison. first fishing in their customary and traditional spots. We're going to be airing Lana's story publicly, and hopefully we'll stir up the waters a little bit in the hopes of stirring up strands of the underlying facts. And you, of course, listeners, the public, activists, are welcome to lend a hand in this quest. Worst thing that can happen is your hand will get wet. And we also invoke the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which puts forward as a principle stating specifically Article 33, that Indigenous people have the right to determine their own identity or membership in accordance with their customs and traditions. There you go. There it says it, right there. We are still waiting to see if we can get today's guest, Russell McIver, on the phone, talk a little bit about coming presidency and what that presidency, be it Republican or Democrat, might do to address the problem of corporate crime, which, as we all know, is rampant. You certainly don't get that much money concentrated in a very few hands without extraordinary and very deep corruption. What that perhaps explains why there is so much cash out there, not in circulation. Money only means something if it's circulating. It's like a shark. If it doesn't keep moving, it dies. There's a lot of dead money. And it's sitting in the hands of the handful of extraordinarily, obscenely rich people. It is not circulating. One has to ask why. It's certainly making a mess of the economy. So we want to ask that question. Why sit on all of this cash? Why not have it in circulations? Indeed, it would do a lot to address the illness that is plaguing Wall Street right now. So it might have something to do, perhaps, with this corruption. Might it not be not sitting dormant, but in fact hiding from someone? Elizabeth Warren, perhaps. Elizabeth Warren, of course, has been an unstoppable force crusading against corporate crime and demanding that the criminals who have done more to destroy lives than any low-level street crime syndicate. But they've managed to retain the corner office. It should be in the corner cell, not the corner office. Nonetheless, there they sit. And there's Elizabeth Warren. And we have Russell McIver, who has stepped to the fore and is commenting right now on Warren's efforts to get these guys in prison. Now, is it maybe perhaps because the privatization, and that's the only way to call it, the privatization of our justice system? It is based on money, isn't it? Anyone who's ever come up against the American judicial system knows that you only get as much justice as you can afford. And there are millions of people sitting in prison right now because they couldn't come up with the cold, hard cash to get themselves out. It is privatized. There is no question about it. If this is not a private entity, then there's no other way. There's simply no other description for it. Yeah, you don't have. I've heard people speak about the corruption is rampant in Wall Street. I've heard people speak about corporate criminals, but what really is going on is the privatization of the justice system, which in many ways protects it. If it's not a justice system, it's another type of animal. What sorts of laws do, in fact, govern its actions? We have to wonder about the justice system in this country. We recently had results in from Portland Cart Watch, there were a number of points that Cart Watch illuminates, and it's certainly worth taking a look at. The personal use of social media on the part of officers, certainly mainly the ones, this is particularly refers to the three officers who posted "I am Daryl Wilson" on their Facebook pages. What were they thinking? And the evidence fund use. Well, most of the directive that Cart Watch looked at has to do with using special bureau funds to pay for informants and items used in sting operations. Cart Watch wanted to comment on portions not necessarily directly related to the unsavory practice of undercover snitching. So they go on and highlight that. The Center for Public Policy, raising minimum wage, another topic that we have to look at is time, even $15 an hour, that's not enough. And raising minimum wages has would have the most profound effect, perhaps, of anything else. That's Oregon, and that's a brief history of recent directives from that Cart Watch reports, as well as $15 an hour. The time has come. The time has come also for Air Cascadia. This has been Voice Air Cascadia, Tuesday, February 2nd, 2016. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Well, we are delighted to have up front joining us Greg Palast. Greg Palast is one of the most significant investigative reporters of our time. Several